Your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. All right, Mark chapter 12, and let's start reading in verse 13. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Shall we give, or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. And let's pray. Lord, you brought us here today in safety, and we thank you, Lord, for that.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for this opportunity to be able to honor your name and to gather together in your name. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless your word as it's preached. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for giving us such a clear and such a concise guide as to how to live and how to understand you and how to know about salvation. I pray that you would bless the preaching of the word as it goes out today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a lot that we could concentrate on, preach on in this verse right here, but basically just to give you very quick context to this verse, those that consider Jesus Christ a challenge and a threat to their particular ministries and to their particular way of life, did everything they could to try to derail Jesus Christ and to try to do what they were saying that they were going to do right here, to catch him in his words, to try to trip him up, to try to get him to say something where they could actually accuse him. And of course, it never happened, and it just has anybody that's ever done any personal work, you know, dealing with people on the streets, trying to get people to understand the gospel, answering objections to the gospel and to God, has got to marvel at the way Jesus Christ deals with men. It's just incredible. It just fills you just with a sense of awe as to his understanding of human nature and his, it's just incredible. And this right here is one of those times where he just says it just the right way. But I want you to know that, you know, Jesus Christ being the very creator, the very God of the universe, he doesn't waste words and he doesn't say things just to say them. And he doesn't say things just in a way only just to trip people up. When you hear Jesus Christ talking, when you've got something in this book right here, you've got to really pay attention, because what Jesus says carries a lot of weight, and there's some really good stuff in here. In fact, we ought to train ourselves to listen to God's word in a way that's different from anything else that we listen to. So his answer, when they were trying to trip him up, because of course they were trying to trip him up over this whole scenario. And if you know what Israel's been through for the last couple of hundred years and what their dream is, then you'd understand why they were trying to ask him this, because Israel at this time was under Roman occupation. And so not only were they paying temple tribute, or not only were they paying taxes to the temple, they were also paying taxes to this occupying government, which was there were some in Israel that were basically trying to say, hey, look, let's just submit to them and let's do our best. And there were others that were doing everything in their power to try to circumvent Rome and try to throw off the shackle. In fact, when Jesus Christ came along and they saw him as the Messiah, that's why a lot of people were really excited, because they thought that Jesus Christ was going to set up that physical kingdom that the Jews were looking for right then and there. And he was going to set it up, and Rome was going to be overthrown, and Israel Israel was going to be a powerful nation again. And when they realized that he had come and he had come to die for the sins of mankind, well, that wasn't really what they were expecting. And so his answer here, he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and to God's the things that are God. And they marveled at him. Basically, what he was saying, and there is no mystery in his answer here. There's no hidden meanings. It's pretty much up front. It's pretty easy to understand. And basically what he was saying, when they brought him a penny and he showed him Caesar's, he said, well, you know, this is Caesar's penny and this is Caesar's services that he's given to you. So you render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So when Caesar gave them tribute, when he gave them taxes, he told them to pay their taxes to Caesar. Now, there's a lot of people that don't think that paying your taxes is right. And I am not going to preach a whole sermon to teach you how to pay your taxes, you know. I'd rather deal with more pleasant things. But, we pay our taxes to the government. You know, I don't have the right to withhold my income tax just because the government's doing something squirrely with my money. There are people out there that are. And if you do and you don't think it's right to pay your income taxes, then just be prepared because the government has the authority then to enforce it. And don't be surprised if you wind up in jail or if your wages get garnished or something else. And I mean, human authority has some things that they're due. Caesar had some things that they're due, even though Caesar declared himself to be a god. And there are some things that that human government, and of course, I'm not going to preach on human government, but I'm telling you something. We've got to give tribute to whom it is due. And as much as you may not like paying taxes, I bet you like driving on roads, and I bet you like the ambulance to come when you call them, and I bet you like the fire department to be there when your house is burning down, and a lot of other things. And if you really want to start complaining about government, be thankful you're not living somewhere else right now. There are a lot of really bad places in the world. Go hike up and move your family and your business over to Somalia right now. And there's a country, there's a nation where there is no real functioning government. And you want to be thankful that we've at least got something. So that's all I'm going to say about the government, because I'm not really wanting to preach about the government. There's a lot of other things that I want to talk about. But just this idea that the concept of rendering, we understand that. And we understand that there's certain things that are due. There's certain things that are rendered. There are people that are owed certain things. And he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. But then he says, and to God the things that are God's. So basically, I mean, am I misreading it? What he's saying is that Caesar, you owe him some things because there's some things that belong to him. But then, by the same token, there are some things that belong to God that you owe him. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about this idea of rendering and giving what's due and giving what you owe. And I'm saying this because this passage, of course, creates a lot of controversy, and it creates a lot of discussion, and a lot of people take a lot of different views of it, not because they don't understand the verse, but like a lot of things that Jesus says, our controversy is not because we don't understand it or we misinterpret it. It's because we just don't flat out agree with it.
Amen.
And there are some maybe even sitting in this room today that you do not agree,
yes, sir,
with this right here. Because he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God. It's amazing to me how arrogant we become in our pride and in our knowledge, and how arrogant we can act against God himself. And this idea that we can go through this life and not feel like we really render God anything, like really owe God anything, is just an incredible deal. It's audacious for us to even think in that direction. You know, I'll tell you how a lot of people think when it comes to God. It's absolutely the opposite and the reverse. It's that God is there for me. That I put him on the shelf, and I take him down whenever I need him, whenever it's convenient for me, and God's supposed to be waiting in the wings for me. He's supposed to be standing on the sidelines waiting for me to need some help. He's supposed to be there with the provision and with all of these things, and he's supposed to get ready and give it to me. And I'm telling you something, when you read the Bible and you understand what you really are, then it is absolutely the total reverse.
Amen.
It's not God who owes us anything.
Amen.
It's we who owe God.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's why we are so ungrateful. That's why we are so unthankful. That's why we are so covetous, because we want to get this God out of our life altogether. The truth is, there are some things that God deserves. I want to talk about some of those things, and I want to do it in the concept of turn to Isaiah 29 and let's read a verse. I want to give you some, first of all, some reasons why, and these should all, you know, you would think that these would all be self-evident, that they would all be an automatic conclusion, but it's amazing how many times these things really don't come to our mind. There's some reasons why we should render to God. And when I'm talking about rendering to God, I'm talking about, you know, like Bill talked about this morning, rendering your possessions, your finances, rendering honor, you know, giving honor, giving glory, and we'll talk about some of those things. But there are some things that God deserves. And look what he says there in Isaiah 29 and verse 15. He says, "Woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding?" You know, this amazing thing right here, I don't know when is the last time you really sat down and thought about it, but have you really thought as to what God owes simply on the basis that he's your creator? No other claim, no other, but just simply on the basis that he's your creator. Just the fact that he made you. Just the fact that he brought you into existence puts you in debt and causes you to be in a position where you owe him something. No, you know what? There are a lot of people that walk around and they say, "I don't owe God anything. What has he ever done for me?" He's made you exist. He brought you into this world and he formed thee. And his argument is, hey, what is the person who's formed? What is he going to say against the creator? There are a lot of people that try to argue against the fact that God is the creator. I mean, we have all kinds of systems in place right now just to disprove. And, you know, there's an interesting thing that I just found out not too long ago. And that's, you know, I've got several of my brothers have gotten saved. And I've got another brother now who's seeking the Lord. He's reading the Bible and he's claimed to have called on the Lord. Man, it's a great, you know, it's great when you have that. And I just found out that there was one thing that really started to get him. And because before he was pretty much an agnostic and, you know, didn't even really think that God much existed at all. But when he started studying, he actually started studying evolution versus creation. And he started studying about how this world came into existence and how God formed the thing. And it was just a natural foregone conclusion. The more he became convinced that God created the heavens and the earth, the more he became convinced that God created him, there was this sense in him that all of a sudden he owed this creator something. That there was this sense of debt, there was this sense of rendering, that he had to give God something back just on the basis that he's the creator. And listen, if you're walking around today and he created you there of that, there is no doubt, and you haven't given anything to him. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, and this is, we could take this as a command. He says, render unto God the things that are God's. It's time to give him some due.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You doing walking around in this world and breathing his air and doing all of these things, you know, as a created being and then giving no heed to the Creator. And then actually to deny that he even exists. Like there's some that do. There's some that say, you know, that they even claim, you know, that they themselves are deity. Wow. Yeah, I'd like to follow them around for a little while. I mean, the ones that really claim that they're deity. I wonder if people that claim that they're deity, you know, I wonder if they burp or pass gas, you know, and do all those. I mean, I wonder if they are just as base and as lowly as the rest of us, you know. I bet 10 to 1 they are, you know. Anyway, as a creator. Look at Romans in chapter 9 and verse 20. Romans in chapter 9 and verse 20. Romans 9, let's see, it says, look back at verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why did he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? We're not going to get into all that, but verse 20. Nay, but O man, but who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Listen, we could go on and read more here, but I think the point is clear. If God is the creator, then God's the one that holds the cards.
Amen.
If God's the one that gives you life, He's the one that has the power to take your life.
Amen.
And He can create you any way. And listen, we have no answer against Him. We have no argument against Him.
Amen.
This is what He's done. This is how He's made us. He's the master planner. He's the creator.
Amen.
And we ought to give Him something. We ought to render Him something.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, look at Psalms chapter 116. It goes even deeper than that. It's not. It's not simply just that God is our creator and therefore we owe him something. But it goes even deeper than that because God is actually, he's actually our benefactor. Isn't it Paul that said when he was there on earth, in him we live and move and have our being? What does it say right there in Psalm 116? This would be a great memory verse. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. That's a great question to ask yourself. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits to me? And you think benefits. We have this entitlement mentality. I mean, that we believe that we are entitled some things. And I remember when Alyssa was real small, we ended up having to go to the office where they gave out the welfare, the AFDC. At the time, it was Aid to Families with Dependent Children. And we were going there to try to get her on Medicaid so that we could pay for some of her surgeries. But then all along with that is everything else. And when they saw what I was making as a full-time pastor at the time, they were trying to give me food stamps and cheese and rice and all this other stuff. I said, look, man, I said, I can make my own money. I can take care of my family. I don't need the cheese and the rice. I don't need the cooking classes. You know, I just need the Medicaid, you know? And they were like, what? But it's a benefit. It's offered. No, sorry. And I was sitting there in that office that day, and it was when Clinton was, he was starting what he called a welfare to work program. And so a lot of the recipients were required to go out and look for work and to try to work at least 20 hours a week in order to continue to receive benefits. And so they made this announcement. That all of the people in that office right there that were receiving benefits were going to have to start, you know, cycling in and start looking for work. I mean, you talk about pandemonium in the place. What are you talking about, you know? Work! I mean, some of them were all excited. Man, I'm finally going to get a job. They got it, you know. The other ones were like, man. And I understand, you know, you've been sitting on the couch in your socks, not doing anything. Somebody else has been feeding you. Somebody else has been taking care of you. Yeah, I can understand how you get lazy in that. But we get this entitlement mentality, don't we? Like, man, well, of course, the government's there so they can give me all these things. I remember when Judy and I went to one agent and we got some, was able to get some coverage for it. We went back and thanked that agent for her help towards us. And she said, you know, very, very, very few people that get benefits out of this office ever say thank you. They're always wanting more. You give them something, they always want something else. They give them something, they're always like, this is all. What am I going to render unto the Lord for the benefits? You know what you ought to do is sit down and think about all of the benefits that you've got just as a creation of God. But not only that, if you belong to Him, how much more? I'm telling you, God is good to His people. And I'm not talking about good in the sense that all of us have easy lives, because there are a lot of Christians that don't have an easy life. That's what I'm not. I'm just talking about the fact that God, He's good, man. Amen. And if you start seeing Him for who He really is, you start coming up with all kinds of stuff. Amen. All kinds of things that God is to you and that God does. Man, I think about the benefits that I have. You know, if I was sleeping under a bridge over there off of Zarzamora Street or something, and I didn't have enough to eat, I could still say, I'm going to render unto the Lord His benefits. If I was days away from death because cancer was eating my body, I've got enough benefits that I could say the Lord is good. Why? Because the Lord, man, not only has He created us, but and not only has He seen our condition, but He actually sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. He gave us the gospel. Amen. He gave us a book that we could know His will. And then, man, like Bill was preaching, we're going to go to heaven when we die. What am I going to render the Lord to His benefits? How about all of those little things? Man, if you're down in the dumps, Or you got a bad attitude, or you've been bitter and angry because the world's dumped on you and things haven't gone right for you, you ought to sit down and consider His benefits. Amen. There's a song that we sing, and there was a period in my life where that song was actually kind of irritating. And I count your blessings, name them one by one. And everybody's all happy, you know, and counting the blessings. And it just kind of irritated me, you know, because when you're down in the dumps, the last thing you want to hear is somebody say, hey, you know, come buck up, you know. I know you buck up, you know, just leave me alone. Somebody's been there, huh? Well, my wife, one time I was trying to cheer her up. I said, honey, things aren't so bad. She said, let me just be mad for a little while. All right. Give you a little while. But then there's got to come a time. I tell you something. The Bible says that we ought to honor our mother and our father. Amen. It's hard for some to do. I understand. I know. And there's some mothers and fathers that, because of their actions, they're not worthy of any honor. They're worthy of a lot of dishonor. But he says, you know, honor our mother and a father. And if you've got a mom or a dad that has that's worthy of some honor, man, and you ought to go give it to them. And you know, I've seen it from the perspective of a kid, you know, that as I got older and I got out on my own, I started realizing some of the things that my parents had done for me that, you know, that I got to do for myself. But you know, even more than that, now as a dad, you know, I see this and I tell you, there is nothing in the world. Well, you know, these absolute statements among the nothing. There's an incredible thing. And that's when one of your kids comes back to you and says, thanks for something. You're like, wow. They didn't give you $1 million. They didn't necessarily, you know, wash your car, go out and do something tangible, but they just came back and just that much saying, Dad, thanks, or Mom, thanks. I know what you did for me. I know what it took. You know, that kind of thing. I tell you, bare minimum, that's what we honor, that's what we owe God. I mean, just bare minimum to tell Him thank you for what He's done for you. Can you at least do that? Because I tell you, things that you give to God, they come in degrees. And if you want to start out rendering to God the things that are owed to Him, why don't you try simply with just thanksgiving?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Try praise, you know.
Amen.
And to tell other people how good He is.
Amen.
I tell you, praise goes a lot farther than simply just saying praise the Lord. PTL, you know.
Amen.
Oh yeah, that, you know, it's a cop out a lot of times. It's so easy for us to say praise the Lord because we don't even think about it. You know, it's just on our, and I'm not saying stop by, you know, not in any means. But what is praise? Praise is pointing out the attributes of somebody else. You know, when I want to brag on my wife, I don't say praise Judy. Praise Judy. Praise Judy. Although that's good. I start telling you about some of the things that Judy is, right? And I won't get gross or, you know, make you uncomfortable or anything. But I can start telling you. I said, man, Judy is faithful, you know. She's hung with me, you know, at times she could leave, but she didn't. You know, she could have done this and her cooking and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you want to start praising somebody, you start telling them about what He is. I'll tell you something. That's what we need to render back to God. You go to people that don't know Him and you say, hey, let me tell you, God is good.
Amen.
And people, their minds aren't geared that way necessarily.
Amen.
And you've got to remind them, and you've got to remind yourself. Listen, any kid that takes everything his parents give him and then just runs away without any acknowledgement at all, bare minimum acknowledgement, you think, man, what a spoiled brat. And you see him around all the time. You see spoiled brats that are 6 years old. You see them all the way up to 40 and above, you know. I've seen some 40-year-olds that are just spoiled brats. They just never really learned to accept or understand, and what was that girl's name? Rachel Canning. Anybody know who Rachel Canning is? She's just 18 years old, you know, and I'm dropping her name, but it's her fault because she's in the news. She sued her parents. Now, I guess there's some times when but she sued her parents because they wouldn't pay her tuition. They wouldn't pay her tuition because she didn't want to obey the rules of the house. So they said, you don't want to obey the rules here. You go out and live on your own and pay your own tuition. And that's exactly what she did. She moved out. But then she went back and sued her parents because they wouldn't pay her tuition. You know, that's an extreme case, but that's kind of what some Christians are.
Yeah,
pardon the puberty of my voice, but that's exactly how some of you are.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So ungrateful, so unthankful, so unwilling to render the benefits for what God has done for you. Oh man, help us not to be spoiled kids.
Amen.
What shall I render unto the Lord? Man, I need to find opportunities to render unto the Lord.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I like what Bill said this morning in the Sunday school about opportunities. They come and then they go and then they're gone. I'm telling you, we gotta take our opportunities to render unto the Lord for the things that He's done for us. And then I look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? That's how verse 19 starts out, if you're not there yet. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price.
Amen.
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Amen.
Hey, there's two things right there that's offensive to your spirit. Number one, where it says there in verse 19 that you're not your own. And then when he says again, you're bought with a price.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know, God's not only your creator, God's not only your benefactor, but God's your redeemer.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You know what that means? Is that he redeemed you. Is that he took you out from where you were. He redeemed you out of that corruption. He changed your direction. He changed your focus. He changed everything about you when he saved you. And if you're thinking here today and you're wondering what salvation is, I'll tell you what salvation is not. Salvation is not just turning over a new leaf. Salvation is not just getting a little willpower and putting the cigarettes away and stopping drinking and coming to church. That's not salvation. I'll tell you what salvation is. Salvation is when he takes you from that broad road that leads to destruction and he puts you on that narrow road that leads to life. He changes your direction. He completely eliminates the threat of hell in your life and gives you heaven as a destination. Amen. And he actually takes ownership of you and he claims you as his own. That's what he says right there. He says, you're not your own. I tell you, that right there, that verse ought to be reason enough not to put all kinds of junk into your body. There are too many Christians trying to give excuses as to why. Oh, you know, I heard a Christian just the other day trying to justify why they could smoke marijuana. I don't know. I don't know where the arguments, I don't know where the draw is. You know, I used to smoke marijuana. I'm telling you, I could be a lot smarter now had I not done that.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that to laugh. I'm saying it is the honest truth. I like that commercial where these two 30-year-olds are sitting in the bedroom and he just got done toking on a joint and he blew the incense, you know, in order to get rid of the smell. And the mom walks in the door, son, did you go look for a job today? And then the caption on the bottom, smoke marijuana, nothing's going to happen. Think about that for a minute. But, yeah, and they're justifying drinking. Oh, no, you know, a Christian can drink a little bit of wine. You know, they can drink. Somebody at work was telling me, they said, I know you don't drink anymore because you can't handle it. And that's not the only reason I don't drink, by the way. There are other very good reasons. But they said, why don't you try this O'Doul's or whatever it is? It's non-alcoholic beer. And I'm like, man, why would I want to drink beer and not get a buzz? That is the only reason for drinking beer, isn't it? Come on, man. There's no social reason for drinking alcohol other than to get a buzz. But I will tell you something. You read a verse in the Bible, it'll give you a buzz that won't give you a hangover. I have traded some things that most people think in their life they cannot live without. And I have put in place things that God has given. And oh, it's been heaven on earth. Not been an easy life, but it's been heaven on earth. In this particular passage right here, the subject isn't marijuana or drinking. The subject is fornication. And I'm telling you something, it is out of control. It used to be, you know, you might hear about it here and now, or if you sneak off to the corner store and, you know, and peel the cover off of Playboy. But now you can sit in your own house. Man, you don't even need a computer now. You just need a little smartphone and you can access all of the garbage of the world. And you wonder, you say, man, how in the world did I get involved in adultery, you know? Well, I'll tell you how you got involved in adultery. You opened up your mind to pornography. You sat there and watched the TV shows and thought that the people that were messing around with each other, that they were actually cool. I wish they would show more gonorrhea and more herpes and more chlamydia. And I wish they'd show more of that kind of stuff. And seriously. I wish that the media would give us both sides of the story. Every time somebody is having a good time drinking, I like to see somebody in the detox ward heaving it up, you know, with their job gone and their life ruined, or somebody with two or three DWIs and can't drive for the rest of his life and have somebody cart him around, or have to live with the guilt of killing somebody, or somebody whose family is destroyed because he couldn't stay out of the bars, you know. I wish they'd show all of that because that's exactly what it is.
Amen.
See, God's trying to make a point here. He says, you are not your own. But here we are in our audacity, our self-destructiveness, thinking I've got a right to do whatever I want. And God says, no, you don't.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because you belong to me.
Yes, sir.
You're God's property.
Yes, sir.
You have a problem with that? Man, I have welcomed being God's property. Because I was my own property for a while, and I didn't do so good with it. You ought to render to God because He's your Redeemer. Look at Isaiah 43:1. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine.
Amen.
Be thankful.
Amen.
And be proud.
Amen.
To belong to God. Now, giving you three reasons why you should render unto God, why you owe God. And we've talked a little bit about what you owe Him and what you render to Him. And I'll tell you this right now, there's nothing that you can give God that will equal what He's given you. There's nothing that you can give God or sacrifice for God that will pay for what He's given you. God's not requiring payment for His free salvation. God's not asking you to reimburse Him for the expenses that He has gone through in order to save you from your sins. No, God did that freely, and He paid the price, and He sent His Son Jesus Christ. He was the full payment for your sins, the full and complete payment for your sins, and He's not asking you to repay Him for that. But remember before I told you that bare minimum, if you're just starting out, the bare minimum thing that you should do is acknowledge God. Is acknowledge Him. Acknowledge that He is the Creator. Acknowledge, admit, and confess that He does have power over you. I tell you, that goes a long way. Because in your spirit, you have this resistiveness, you know, you have this rebellion and this pushback, and everybody's got it. You know, nobody likes to be told what to do. And so whenever you're given commands and you're told what to do and you think there's a better way, there's always this resistance, but you ought to drop that and at least bare minimum acknowledge God. Acknowledge Him. Give Him the credit for who He is and what He is. Acknowledge His right to claim ownership over you.
Amen.
Lord, you've got every right to do whatever you want to with me. You know, that go a long way. But I tell you, you ought to go even deeper than that. And you ought to give Him not only honor, because we give our parents honor, we give our bosses honor, we give our leaders honor, but we ought to give Him respect and praise. Psalm 29 and verse 2 says this. He says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God is due some glory. And God can glorify Himself. He can, he told those naysayers over there when Jesus was going into the, he says, man, if these hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. I mean, gotta get glory to His name. But there is something special about a creature who voluntarily and of his own free will gives God honor and glory. It's voluntary. It's free. God doesn't necessarily lay out a plan for you or force you to do it, but you of your own free will not only acknowledge that God has control over you, that God has rights over your dominion, but that God also is due glory because of it. So if you want to get a little mature, then why don't you start glorifying God? Glorify God in your spirit. Hey, glorify God in your body. I tell you, for some people, glorifying God is going to be a radical change in lifestyle. There ought to be certain things that ought to offend you. I'm serious. There are some things, we drink iniquity like sin, and we get so used to everything around us, but there ought to be some things that just offend us. I'm telling you, I don't care how good the movie is, if they start slandering God's name or taking His name in vain, man, you ought to right away, okay, fine, you know, I don't need to know the end of the story on this. Boom! I'm not going to sit here and listen to somebody slander the name of my Lord. And I'm not saying go out in public and get in fights and everything over it. But I remember at work, I was in the office and the next office over, somebody just as an expletive said Jesus Christ and named His name. And they weren't calling on Him either. They were using Him. And I walked over and I put my head in the office and I said, excuse me, who did you say? What? I mean, they hadn't even realized they said it. I said, hey, that person you're talking about, I know him. And I started talking about him, and they were like, oh, brother. I said, no, I'm telling you something. He's real, you know. I don't always do that. You know, sometimes I just go my way. But there's something in you, you know, that wants to give God honor. And that wants to, and like I was telling you before in the message, I'm not going to repeat it. But man, let's brag on the good things that God is. The people they need to know. Not just simply give them the Romans road and the gospel. I mean, I'm talking about at work, in your family. Man, is God good? Tell Him He is and tell Him why. Don't be ashamed and don't be afraid. They're very bold in their sins. But that's like the next step. That's like you acknowledge His power over you. And the next step is you honor Him because of His position and because of His right. But then there's one that kind of seals the deal. And I think it's the place where every Christian ought to get to. And it's our final verse for the day, by the way. Look at Romans in chapter 12 in verse 1. Romans 12, 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is a point that many of you won't get to. You don't want to go that far. You don't trust God. You don't think He's going to do what's right. And I'll tell you why you don't trust God is because you think God's a man. You think God is like your dad, you know. You think God is like someone that you know. But I'm telling you, God is not a man. And God has no unrighteousness in Him. There's no shadow or turning with God. He is right in everything that He does. And that people, they marvel at the judgment of God. And they get angry at the judgment of God. But I'm telling you, I'd rather have God judge me than a man. Because a man, you never know where you're going to stand with God. And one thing about God is when He chastens us for our good. Many times we, as people, we get off on somebody else and we start letting somebody else have it, not for their good, but just so that we can feel better or get something off our chest. But think about what He's asking. He's asking full surrender here. Wow, you think about that. It's light to say. It's hard to do. Can you tell God, I give you all? Everything? You can have my life? Lord, if you want me to have a short life, or you want me to have a long life, that's okay with me, Lord, as long as that's what you want. Lord, do you want me to be sick? Or do you want me to be well? Whatever you want, Lord, that's all up to you. Do you want me to be rich and influential, Lord? Or do you want me to be poor and unknown? Lord, that's up to you. Whatever you want. I wonder if you've got what it takes today, if you can trust the Lord enough to render unto God this ultimate thing, that you would give Him everything that you have. I'm talking total surrender. He says there, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And then don't let your mind be conformed to this world, but let it be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm telling you what, that'll turn your life around. I'll tell you something else is where you need to be. There are some in this room today where your life is consumed with you, with your hobbies, with your dreams, your goals. Everything is revolved around that, and it's not revolved around God. And it needs to change if you belong to Him. It needs to change. You need to change your life to where it revolves around God instead. There are some precious things that God... I'll tell you, I'll give you an example of something that I've been thinking about. And to close out this thought, and it's kind of personal, but I'm thinking about this. What do I render to God? You know, number one, God's been good to me for over 50 years. I won't say how over, but over 50 years, God has been good to me. God's kept me alive. He allowed me to hear the gospel. He didn't kill me before I had a chance to understand. And I know that wasn't the case with others, you know. Man, I can render to Him those benefits. And He's been good. But you know, I am over 50 now. And sometimes a man's mind, once he gets over 50, starts gravitating towards mortality a little bit. You start burying some people, you don't start understanding the bones, they creak a little bit, not too much, but a little bit, you know, gives you little reminders of what's coming up ahead. And I'll tell you something that I'm thinking about is that I've got something so precious that I can render unto God, that I can give Him just freely just because of what He's done and who He is. And that's time. That's time. You know what I'm thinking about now? I'm thinking about, I got an offer to get involved in a sport. Not really a sport. I don't know if you can call this, you know, shooting a sport. But I've got a friend who's really into shooting. I mean, he skeet shoots and guns and this and that. And I mean, I was a military man, you know, and I've had guns all my life, and I like to shoot as much as the next person. I don't always like to pay for the ammunition, but you know, I like to go shoot. And he said, yeah, man, we can get in this. And there's this. And we meet over here on Saturdays. And then we go over here and we do this and that. And I'm thinking in my mind, why? Because see, you know what that's doing? Is that's stealing precious time. You know, maybe you're giving so much time to other things that you're not giving enough time. God deserves more time. You resent His intrusions upon your life because your life is already so full. You don't have any time for Him. You don't have time to come to church. You don't have time to read your Bible. And I understand there's certain things that you don't have any control over. If you're in a job and you really need that job and it has to do with long hours and you're stuck there for the present time. But listen, there are a lot of things that you do have control over. And I'm thinking in my mind, you know what? Maybe I don't need a boat. I don't have one, but so it's easy for me to say, maybe I don't need a boat, but maybe I don't need this hobby. Amen. Or maybe I don't need that hobby, because now I'm starting to kind of evaluate things, not in terms of what it's going to benefit me later, all these things, but how much time does it cost me? I've got a limited amount of time to live, and I can live for God or I can live for this world. I can give my time to the things that are going to last forever, or I can give my time to the things that are just nothing. Wow, and it causes you to think. It causes you to evaluate it. It causes you then to think not in terms of what do I love to do and what don't I love to. Am I willing to dedicate this portion of my life to this? And when you look at it that way, a lot of times you say no. And one of the overriding motivations is because, you know, I'm getting this sense that God, He not only, He's not requiring of this, but He deserves my time. He deserves the precious things in my life. He deserves those things that I give to others that I should be giving to Him. You get the point. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I tell you, one of the hardest things about presenting yourself to God is you want a guarantee beforehand as to what He's going to do with you. I'll give myself to you, God, but don't you dare make me a missionary. I'll give myself to you, God, but don't make me do this, or you have all these things in your mind. Listen, I'll tell you something. Jesus back there in that passage, he said, render unto God, or render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. You pay your tribute. But then don't forget to render unto God the things that are God's. It belongs to him, the honor, the glory,
Amen.
The praise, the time, the money, the devotion.
Amen.
And if you get that in your mind, there are some in here, this could transform your life. Whereas right now it's centered on self, it could be centered on God. And I'll close with this thought right here, is that if you're not saved, God's there for you right now. But he doesn't force you to come. He doesn't force you to get saved. But your response, just in light of the fact that he created you, that he's your benefactor, and that he's your redeemer, I tell you, personal opinion, you're crazy if you don't call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. Because he's worthy of it. And that's all I got to say. Let's bow and close this out with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to take something away from this message, apply it into our lives. Lord, I pray especially for anyone in this room that is not saved, that has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, that they wouldn't walk. Lord, they'd run. They'd find out as fast as they could what it means to be saved, and they'd call upon your name and be saved. I pray that you'd open their eyes, that they'd see their condition before you. They'd realize that you're the only one that can forgive their sins and save their soul. And I pray that that you'd be their Redeemer today. And Lord, however you see fit to use this message, I pray that you would take us away safe and bring us back safe tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.